Welcome to Fancastic, the fan podcast reviewing all your favorite shows. I'm your host, Lauren Galloway. Today, I will be reviewing the new Doctor Who episode entitled Hyde. This episode aired on April 20th, and in my opinion, it was one of my favorite episodes of this season. I really think that the writing and the directing has been absolutely brilliant for season 7. I love how they have made every episode kind of like a miniature movie. They've been releasing posters that look like movies, and they have been just kind of focusing the show more on standalone episodes as opposed to an arc like we've seen in 5 and 6. But I really enjoyed this episode. So just to recap on the episode, opens with actor Dougray Scott playing Professor Palmer, and he is investigating a ghost in a spooky old house somewhere in the United Kingdom with his assistant, a psychic woman named Emma. They encounter a ghost. We're not really sure what it is or who it is, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. Knock, knock, knock. Who's there? Dr. and Clara burst in, and they introduce themselves as people from the Ministry of Defense, top secret, hush, hush, don't ask questions, we can't give you answers. They make some great references to Ghostbusters, and the doctor, Clara, the professor, and Emma start investigating the ghost. Throughout the episode, we learn that the professor and his assistant have feelings for each other, but they aren't able to express how they feel. The psychic woman warns Clara that the doctor is not to be trusted, that he lies. We learn that the TARDIS sometimes takes a while to warm up to companions, and that the ghost actually isn't a ghost, but we all knew that, this being Doctor Who, a show about aliens who usually find themselves trapped on our world. So that's the quick recap. If I could title this episode something other than Hyde, I would call it Romeo and Juliet and Ghosts. As the doctor says at the end of the episode, this is not a ghost story. It's a love story. And I thought it was beautifully displayed between the dramatic tension and the affection between Professor and Emma. A slight kind of dancing around the doctor and Clara, and then of course two of the alien creatures who at the end we realize we're in love and we're separated by this strange kind of phenomena. This what did the doctor call it? He didn't call it a balloon universe, a pocket universe. So let's jump into things I liked about the episode. For instance, I loved that Dougray Scott was in this episode. I've loved him since he was in Ever After. I really enjoyed his performance in Mission Impossible 2, and I loved him in Enigma, which interestingly enough was about the Ministry of Defense and spies in World War II and cracking German code, which the Doctor does allude to in this episode about Dougray Scott's character's past. I love the first 5 or 6 minutes of this episode. I love how quick just the doctor and Clara and the professor's dialogue was going back and forth. I love how the doctor scares him when he opens the door and shouts, "Boo! We're looking for a ghost!" And Professor Palmer says, "And you are?" And Clara, in her cute, "I was totally born in the 90s way," says, "Ghostbusters." I loved that. I'm loving the opening credits of the season. I love how you have that throwback soundtrack, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh man, I absolutely love when he says, "Doctor, what?" And Matt says, "If you like." Of course, shout out to Sherlock. I wonder if there's a Sherlock shout out in every episode. I know there isn't. I think in a perfect world, I would love there to be a Sherlock shout out in every episode. But the Doctor, when he is explaining who Professor Palmer is, he says, "You are a member of the Baker Street Irregulars." And that has been a very unique club that has been around for at least over 100 years. They are the Baker Street Irregulars. and they were massive Sir Arthur Conan Doyle followers, and they are still around today. I love how the doctor does his French kind of kisses to Emma. I thought that was so sweet, and it reminded me of the character Craig from season 5 and season 6, which those are two of my favorite Matt Smith episodes, The Lodger and Closing Time. I just love how he kisses people. I just think it's so adorable. I love how the doctor was fanboying over the technical specs, you know, and playing with everything. How he said he loves the word toggle, nice noun, excellent verb. Also, a little bit of Beetlejuice, a little bit of Danny Elfman music kind of woven throughout this episode. Great job. Murray Gold, composer of Doctor Who. I love how the doctor, and I was reading some tweets about this, how the doctor took a selfie. He took a picture of himself on the camera, which I thought was great. He's just always perfectly out of time. I love how Dougray Scott's character said the ghast of whatever house they were in. Clara, we get to see some great Clara moments in this episode. She was very quick to notice that in all the pictures of the ghost, that she doesn't change, that the ghost always has the same expression, that it's as if she hasn't moved throughout the span of the time that these pictures were taken. I love that we get to see kind of quickness and cleverness on Claire's part, because we do know that she is a computer genius based on the technology that was downloaded into her in the Bells of St. John. I thought this episode reminded me a little bit of Christopher Eccleston's season with Billy Piper. His episode Unquiet Dead, where the ghosts are living in the lanterns and the gas systems in the time of Charles Dickens. Just a little bit. And the fact that the servant in that episode was psychic, and how this woman is psychic. I don't know, just a little bit like Unquiet Dead. If you haven't seen it, give it a watch. I love the scene where the doctor's trying to coax Clara into looking for the ghost, and she's scared, and she says, "Dare me." And he dares her, and then he says, no takesy backsies, which to me was just such a sweet, innocent doctor moment. I just love how Matt Smith brings the wisdom and yet the childlike nature of the doctor to his portrayal of that role. The episode was called Hyde, and it was supposed to be, it's a ghost story. And yet there were these sweet romantic moments between Professor Palmer and Emma, which I thought were just wonderful tones of intimacy and friendship and kind of unrequited love. I thought that was wonderful. I loved how the ladies drink some whiskey, as, you know, is typical of in movies after someone has experienced something traumatic, and how they both say, "Well, I think I'd rather just have a cup of tea." I thought that was sweet. And another shout out to the 11th Doctor in this episode, when Clara says whiskey is the 11th most disgusting thing ever invented. Her first shout out that I noticed was in the Bells of St. John, when she's talking about the book Summer Falls, and the girl that she's babysitting says that she's on 10, and Clara says, "Wait till you get to 11. It's a real tearjerker. Another nod to the 11th Doctor, which, of course, makes you wonder if we're going to lose the 11th. I don't want to lose the 11th. I adore Matt Smith terribly. But as with Doctor Who, we must always be willing to switch actors but keep our beloved Doctor. That's the magic of Who, so I will not, let's just not think about Matt leaving yet. Just yet. We have some time. What else did I enjoy about this episode? I love, you know, sometimes Doctor Who does like to introspectively look at the Doctor. Some episodes are very fun romps like The Bells of St. John, which was more about Claire's backstory. I feel like even Cold War was more about the plot, and it was, you know, more about Clara and the Iceman character. But I felt like this episode had some great introspective moments for the Doctor. For instance, when it's just the Doctor and the Professor, the Doctor asks him, "How did you end up here? You were part of military intelligence. You helped save so many lives. You were a great man. You're a war hero. Why would you buy this haunted house?" And Professor Palmer's answer is, "Because I killed." He said, "I sent young men and women to their deaths, and I caused deaths. And yet, here I am, I'm still alive." And it tends to haunt you. And he said that he didn't mind dying because it was a worthy cause to die for. But he is still alive. And how everyone is a ghost to him. And we know that that's exactly how the Doctor must feel about things. It would take him eternity to count all of the lives that he has saved and the planets that he's rescued. And yet people have died under his command, and people have been put in harm, and he has lost people. And, you know, it's like when an older person outlives all their friends, and there's, you know, no one from their past is left, and their parents have gone, and their siblings have gone, and their schoolmates have gone. It's a very lonely place, even if you lived a good life. And so the Doctor, he has caused death, and he's been a hero, and I think he can really identify with Professor Palmer in this moment. So I really enjoyed that. Next, there was a very interesting scene between Clara and Emma, where Emma says, "Don't trust him. There's a sliver of ice in his heart." Now, a sliver is obviously better than having an entire heart of ice, but it plants, I think, the first seeds of doubt in Clara whether or not she can trust the Doctor. Because up to this point, he's been the magic man with the magic box, and she's been experiencing some very heroic moments, especially in the Rings of Akhtan, and of course being saved in the Bells of St. John. But a seed of doubt has now been placed in her mind of the trustworthiness of the Doctor. And it's not that that's a bad thing. I guess it's important for her not to live out the fantasy of the Doctor as someone perfect, but to see him as real, as mortal, as human, because she will be harmed. She will be put in harm's way. We know that from all the other companions. And yet I hope that never divides her from the Doctor, that it never makes her question her safety and his intentionality with her. So I thought that was interesting that would get thrown into Clara like that. And it comes up on another great scene with Clara and the Doctor approaching the TARDIS, and Clara says, "You know, I feel like she's staring at me, or it's staring at me. I can't remember if she said she." And the Doctor says, "Oh, the TARDIS. You know, the TARDIS is like a cat, slow to trust, but you'll get there in the end." And I think that is really leading us up to the next episode, which is Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. If you've seen The Doctor's Wife in season 6, you know that we do get a look at the TARDIS as a woman, as a character with personality. And we get to see a little bit of that in this episode. She's a bit cheeky with Clara, but Clara is very cheeky back. I find it interesting that the Doctor can't remember if he had an umbrella stand in the TARDIS. It might seem trivial, but for us, his other TARDIS didn't seem like that long ago. But for him, I think it was 200 years after the Pons died that he was in the Snowman episode. So he has not been, you know, he's not been in the TARDIS that we know as the 11th Doctor's TARDIS in a long time. And I'm pretty sure it had an umbrella rack. If you know the answer to that, You can tweet me or email us at fantasticfanpodcast@gmail.com. I just thought it was interesting. He's regenerated so much. Would he remember if he had a mole, you know, on one part of his face? And the TARDIS has regenerated so much. You know, does he even remember the 10th Doctor's TARDIS or the 9th Doctor's TARDIS? Which is an interesting point. Because for us, it's just as familiar as going back and watching an old episode. But for the Doctor, it's been hundreds of years. So it was a small line, but I thought it was definitely making a statement about the Doctor's perspective on things. I love when Clara is kind of picking the Doctor's brain about where they're going. And she's very quick when he says, not where. And she says, so when are we going? And he says, we're going always. Which I think just proves that Clara might be in very unfamiliar territory. But she's a very clever, clever girl. Now the next scene of events was interesting when the Doctor is taking pictures. Because you can tell he's at the beginning of time. You know, it's a very iconic picture. And he, you know, starts taking pictures at different phases in the Earth. But then you see the desolation. And you see the sun kind of fading out. And, you know, after seeing episodes like... where Rose watches the destruction of Earth. It's the second episode in Chris Eccleston's series. And actually, and Rose being on New Earth and Martha in Gridlock. And even Martha in Utopia. You know, I feel like so many of the companions have seen the end. Especially Martha. And this is Clara's first time really seeing the end. And I think the few journeys she's had on the TARDIS have been fun and dangerous and exciting, but they have not been, what's the word? I don't think they impacted her quite as much as seeing Earth completely over. And I think when you get a perspective, kind of this eternal perspective that things don't always last, the physical things, they don't always last, they change, which is a huge theme of Doctor Who. The face of the Doctor changes, and yet his heart and his spirit, those things that are intangible and invisible, they don't change. And I think Clara is rocked by the fact that one day Earth will not be there anymore, and it hits a place in her heart where she has always expected it to go on. It gives her a sense of comfort. And she has a great speech. She asks the Doctor, how are you okay with this? One minute you're investigating ghosts in 1974, and the next minute you're here. And she says, to you, I haven't been born yet, and yet to you, I've been dead 100,000 years. To you, I'm a ghost. Which is true, because the Doctor has seen her die twice. So for Clara, this is very specific. She almost is a ghost to the Doctor, but her point is very broad. It's that we're all ghosts to you. So to her, the Doctor seems to be this steady force, and everyone just fades out around him. She sees through every person that the Doctor has encountered in every place he's ever been as something fading away. And she tries to get her mind around, well, do you see me that way? Do you see me as half here and half gone? Do you see all of us? And for her, she almost thinks the Doctor doesn't care. But we know him. We've seen him save Earth so many times. And so she says, to you, we must be nothing. But he says, no, you are not that. That is not what you are. And I think he means in a broad sense, humanity is not nothing to him. Obviously, he wouldn't risk his life every time humanity was in danger. He wouldn't burn up suns to say goodbye. But then he answers her question. You are the only mystery worth solving. Which is true for Clara, but I think it's true in general. I think it's a very biblical question. I think it's a very scientific question. You know, why are we here? Where, you know, humanity is such a mystery. if you believe in intelligent design, why were we designed? Why were we creative? If you, you know, ascribe to evolution and kind of spontaneous combustion, why? You know, why did the Big Bang happen? There's so many kind of religious, scientific, esoterical questions, the philosophical questions that surround humanity. And what a way for a Time Lord who has seen the beginning and seen the end to answer that. Someone who can calculate the hypotenuse of 700 right triangles, and who continually saves worlds, that to him, humanity, people, the aliens that he encounters, the love that he feels is a mystery and it is worth solving. And I thought that was profound. So major kudos to whoever wrote this episode, because it had some incredible moments. This episode was directed by Jamie Payne and written by Neil Cross. Ah, Neil Cross. Big shout out to Neil Cross. Neil Cross, you are absolutely brilliant. Neil Cross has written for Spooks, The Fixer, Luther. He also wrote The Rings of Akatan and Hyde. And he did write, he worked on the script for Pacific Rim, soon to be released. Now, Emma has a great explanation for why things end and what to do with the reality and the perspective when you realize that the things that you love will not always be around. Clara says she saw something she wishes that she had not seen. And Emma says, well, what is that? What happened? And Clara said, everything ends. And Emma comes right back by saying, not love, not always, which is so, it's so true. No matter what changes, there are certain things that never change. And again, I would call this episode Romeo and Juliet and Ghosts, because there is such a theme of love. And I really enjoy how Neil Cross was able to braid together love and ghosts. It's brilliant. Now, I got major goosebumps when the doctor at this point starts showing Professor Palmer and Emma each picture, you know, the ghosts in each point in time. And before, the professor's pictures, she hadn't moved, because it really was only over a few hundred years or less, less than 100 years maybe. But the doctor has taken billions of years worth of photos, and you see a woman running and running and running, and then all of a sudden she comes into focus and she's a person. Ah, that moment just gave me major goosebumps. Her name is Hilla, and she crash landed in a pocket universe. So for her, she's only been there a few minutes. For Earth, it's been billions of years. And so it's a really cool explanation of who the ghost is. And I love what the doctor says about Emma. He says, Emma, you are a lantern guiding her home. Oh, I just thought that was so, so beautiful. You know, the doctor earlier had been sharing how it's difficult for people to be feelers, to willingly put themselves into a place of experiencing emotion like that, and how worth it is to be vulnerable, because in that place, you can reach out to those who need to be saved. Now, something I was thinking about after I watched this episode, I was thinking about who saved the day. And really, women saved the day. Now, the doctor, he jumped into the pocket universe and he willingly put himself in harm's way. But man, the women in this episode were very powerful. They were incredibly strong. You have Emma choosing to hook herself up to this kind of steampunk looking crown with a blue gem in it, and trusting the doctor, a man whom she's never met, who she can see right through. And yet she trusts him because it's worth it to her to possibly save a life. And oh man, this actress, we need to mention this actress. Her name is Jessica Raine. You may recognize her from the BBC show Call the Midwife. She's intense in this episode. I loved her intensity and the way she kind of kind of breathed, and the way that she looked at Dougray Scott, she had this gentleness and yet this strong, intense passion in her eyes. She's very an emotive actress, and I really enjoyed her. So Jessica Raine, amazing job in this episode. Great casting choice for Emma, and she, her character, I mean, she screamed most of the rest of this episode, just in such agony, and she did incredible. The two other women who I think really shined in this episode were Clara and the TARDIS. I mean, Clara, you know, pretty much went up to the TARDIS and said, we're going to save him, and if we get torn to bits, we get torn to bits. And then, of course, the TARDIS had to choose to go into the pocket universe. And of course she would, because she loves the Doctor. So I just, you know, anyone who says that Stephen Moffat is misogynistic and doesn't write strong women, I beg to differ. And if you're listening to this podcast and you believe that about Stephen Moffat, you probably have reasons why you believe that, but personally, I think Stephen Moffat writes incredible roles for women, like River Song, like Rose, like Martha Jones, like all the women of Who. But this episode in particular, women save the day. I mean, Jessica Raine, she was over the top, incredible, and of course, it was her psychic ability and her willingness to put herself back in danger even after she rescued Hilla when she had to reestablish the link for the Doctor. Oh, I loved that. I thought it was brilliant. I love just how certain Emma's character was. I love when she says with certainty, I'm speaking to Hilla Tacorian. You know, she doesn't just say the woman. She says Hilla Tacorian. Now, kind of on a side note, if any of you listeners are Star Trek fans or you have seen Star Trek The Next Generation, my family and I were watching this episode together, and my mom said that this was a lot like the Dr. Crusher episode, which is called Remember Me, and was a part of The Next Generation. And in the episode, Beverly Crusher, Dr. Crusher, gets stuck in the static warp bubble, and so all throughout the episode people start disappearing, and eventually she's by herself on the bridge of the Enterprise, and she thinks they've all disappeared and she's the only one left, when in reality she's the one that's disappeared. And here, I'll just pull up the Wikipedia on here. Her son comes to visit. He attempts to create a static warp bubble. The experiment appears to fail. People start disappearing. Eventually, no one but Captain Picard and herself remain on the ship. But then eventually, Picard is gone and she is by herself. A vortex keeps appearing on the main bridge, and it keeps trying to suck Beverly Crusher in. And she's kind of blown across the bridge, and she holds on because she thinks the vortex is what is taking everyone away. So she does not go into the vortex. And at this point, you switch over to the real world. So she's kind of in this kind of alternate reality. She's in a warp bubble. But you don't know that until this point. So then you see Wesley, and he's on the Enterprise. He had successfully created the warp bubble, and he accidentally trapped his mom within it. With the warp bubble collapsing rapidly, Wesley's fears lead the Traveler to appear and help Wesley attempt to stabilize the bubble. And then within the warp bubble, Dr. Crusher attempts to direct the Enterprise to the home planet of the Traveler, but soon finds the ship is unable to set that destination as it no longer exists. So the episode is called Remember Me, and whether or not Neil Cross is a Star Trek fan, we'll have to ask him at a Comic-Con event or something. So even if he isn't, this is just a cool kind of parallel situation. So the episode is called Remember Me, which, as we know, Clara, both times that she's died, is she has said, run, you clever boy, and remember. So there's a theme of being remembered. Obviously, it's a Dr. Crusher episode, she's caught in a static warp bubble, which is just like a pocket universe, and it's slowly collapsing. It's just so similar. And the only way that she can get back is through the help of the Traveler, who is, you know, he is outside of time and he understands the power of thought, and he's very much, the Traveler's a mix of like the Doctor and Emma, because he is telepathic and kind of psychic. And yet, you know, the key to this Doctor Who episode was that Hilla, the woman who got trapped, is the great, 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 great granddaughter of Emma. And the Doctor at the end says, you know, blood was calling out to blood. Well, in this episode of Star Trek, you know, Dr. Crusher can only get back with the help of the Traveler and her son Wesley. So it's just, it's so cool. And shout out to my mom, who on Twitter is KM Sherwood 3. You can give her a shout out. But it's just a cool parallel. And you know, there has been a crossover comic with Doctor Who and the Next Generation, so maybe it was inspiration, but maybe not. Either way, it's kind of cool to talk about. Going back to something else I really enjoyed about the actress Jessica Rein is how she just kept yelling, "Doctor, Doctor," just so confident, and how she kept saying, "Come home, come home." I mean, she could have said anything, "Come back to the castle, come back to Earth," but she said, "Come home," and to me, there was something very powerful, very emotive about her saying that. A question I have about this episode, and please, I would love to hear your ideas about this. You can tweet the podcast at FantasticFP, or you can tweet me individually, Lauren_Galloway, or you can email us. But I would like to know why the sonic screwdriver kept shorting out. Was it as simple as it was picking up interference from the pocket universe? Or is it leading to a bigger problem? Something about the sonic screwdriver. Or, new thought. Is that could he end up getting a new screwdriver soon, which is the screwdriver that we see in Silence in the Library that River has, which is kind of blue and red, it's a bit smaller, the one that he gives her before she goes to the library. Now, wouldn't that be fun? So tweet me your responses to why the sonic screwdriver is shorting out. I love how I always want to call him Matt. I mean, he is Matt, but I love how the Doctor tied the doors closed with his bow tie. Thought that was really cute. I would love to know where they filmed that wooded scene. My first thought was, hey, look, it's Vancouver where they film Psych and Once Upon a Time. And then I remembered that they don't film in Vancouver. Just everything I watch is filmed in Vancouver. Must be somewhere in Wales, which I could probably Google where they filmed that. I do have another question for you, Doctor Who fans. The TARDIS was calling out to Clara. It was kind of making this gong noise, and I know I've heard it in another episode, and it could have just been the TARDIS kind of, you know, hey, Clara, come, you know, fly with me so we can go save the Doctor. But I know it's been in another episode, so if you remember, please let me know, because I would love to go back and watch that episode to see what that signal meant, why the TARDIS would make that noise. I love just kind of wrapping up the love story between Emma and the Professor, that she's done. She brought Hilla back and it almost killed her and she can't handle it. And of course, the Professor just tells her straight up, I was dead, you know, I was a ghost and you brought me back from the dead because you love me. And she's able to, you know, she's able to get up and do it again. I thought the scene with Clara and the TARDIS was interesting. Clara as the one person that you would trust. And Clara, she was just giving the TARDIS what for and pretty much said, we're gonna go anyway and I don't care if we die. I thought that was really cool. Clara goes for quite the tumble down the rabbit hole into the pocket universe. Both times, it's just Jenna just being tossed around and around and around in the TARDIS, which I thought that was great. You rarely see a companion in the TARDIS without the Doctor. I know we've seen it a few times, but that was just, what a wild ride. Hopefully she didn't get bruised or bumped in any of those scenes, but she probably did. In the forest, I love the music that Murray Gold wrote for this. It's kind of great, billowing, boisterous, dramatic sound in this. I love how in The Bells of St. John and Akatan, Cold War, and then this episode, Hyde, that, you know, Murray has decided to switch up the Doctor's theme a little bit, which the Doctor's theme is my favorite Doctor Who song. I mean, it premiered in the 11th hour, and I've loved it ever since. But it's cool to hear it different, and it's kind of slowed down a little bit. I feel like some of the beats have been reversed a little bit. Not that it's going backwards, but just Murray has done some really cool things with the soundtrack in this part two. At the end of The Great Rescue, we realize why the Doctor decided to come here in the first place. And it's because of Emma. He wanted her to psychically read Clara. And her reply to who is Clara is that she's just a normal, perfectly ordinary, very pretty girl who is scared more often than she lets on. I think Emma did see something in Clara, but didn't want to say because she wanted to protect her. If she didn't see anything in Clara, then to me that means that this version of Clara, and maybe every version of Clara, is normal, that she was born when she said she was born, and she will die when she's meant to die, that she is ordinary, but there is something extraordinary about her, or something that someone is doing, which I think we see in the clip Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. The Doctor starts shouting, you know, who are you? Are you a trap? You know, what are you? And I think the Doctor is very suspicious of mysteries because Riversong was a mystery and she was sent to kill him. And of course she chose love and she chose to save his life. But I think he knows that the silence is still out there, that Trenzalore is coming, that he can't just brush that aside. And I think he's wondering, is Clara a part of that? Is she a trap? Is she an irresistible mystery that they knew I couldn't overlook? So of course, you know, the episode ends. I love the triple hug. The Doctor goes in for the hug when Emma and Hilla are hugging. And I just think it's such a precious question when Professor Palmer looks at the Doctor and says, well, what do we do now? And the Doctor says, hold hands, keep doing that. That's a secret. I love the way that Doctor Who looks at marriage and looks at relationship. It's great to see healthy relationships, even if they are spread across time and space. And then, of course, the ending, the Doctor realizes that there's another pair of unrequited lovers, the Beast in the pocket universe and the Beast that's stuck in the house, and the Doctor is able to look past the Beast frightening people and say, you know what, I want to help you, I want to reunite you with your love. And I love how he says, hello again, you old Romeo, you. So cute. Tune in next week. Actually, tune in this Saturday as Doctor Who airs its new episode, Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. This episode was written by Stephen Thompson, who wrote the Doctor Who episode Curse of the Black Spot, and who also has written for the Sherlock series. He wrote The Blind Baker, The Reichenbach Fall, and the new episode that Sherlock is currently filming, The Sign of Three. He's a great writer. And it is directed by Matt King and scored, as usual, by Murray Gold. Plot overview. Clara is lost in the depths of the TARDIS, which is invaded by an intergalactic salvage crew who want to sell it for scrap. But the Doctor threatens to destroy the TARDIS by putting it in lockdown and activating the self-destruct if the salvage crew doesn't help him find Clara. Looks wonderful and scary. And yes, we get to see more of the TARDIS. If you guys have rooms in the TARDIS that you would like to see, or if you have theories about this episode or future episodes, or if you have theories about who Clara is, if you think you know who gave Clara the number to the TARDIS in the Bells of St. John episode, please email us, tweet us. We would love to just start a dialogue with you about it. We'd love to review those questions on the podcast. Our Twitter account is FanCasticFP, and you can tweet us anytime, or you can email us at FanCasticFanPodcast@gmail.com. Tune in this Thursday night. We will be live broadcasting our interview with psych writer Britt Hilgers. Britt Hilgers' psych episode, Juliet Wears the Pantsuit, airs Wednesday, April 24th, which is tomorrow night. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, it airs today. She wrote this episode and she has agreed to be on our podcast. So tweet us, you know, if you're a psych fan, tweet us your questions for Britt. Well, we hope you enjoyed this review of Doctor Who Hyde, and we look forward to seeing you and hearing from you online. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Fancastic, the fan podcast for your favorite shows. At the end.